we discussed to a small degree, the level of our understanding of love is insufficient when we're talking about God's love. Because when I think about the way that I love my family and I love my wife or whatever, it doesn't bring about the power of God's love. You see, because I'm frail and I've been through what I've been through and I came up through where I came up, and we've all been through so many things. And we say things like, you know, we love chips and we love coffee and we love phones, we love, you know, weekends. But that's not really love. Yeah, we really understood the fact that God's love is an unconditional love that doesn't keep track record or hold us accountable to our past mistakes. God's love is unconditional and free. He loves us in a way that we can't love Him. But only through that love can we begin to understand it. And then through that understanding, it teaches us to help love and understand love for someone else. So, and moving forward from understanding God's love, tonight we're going to talk about the reflection. So the message tonight is the reflection, and I'll talk about that. Genesis 1:26 says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule. For God created man in His own image, in the image of God. He created a male and female, He created them. And God blessed them and told them to multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." So, in the very beginning, God creates man in our image. What image is that He's talking about? And there's a lot of different aspects of the image of God that we can talk about. But what is the central focus of what God truly is? And we talked about that last week. Anybody? Love. Amen. God is love. And He said, "I created man in my image, in our likeness, and gave them dominion." That means that He intended for us to rule the entire planet and be, you know, next to God, underneath God, to rule over this entire planet. He gave us dominion and authority over this planet. Now, we gave it up, and that's an entirely different message, an entirely different conversation. But the idea, the reflection is that God said, "Let us make man in our own image." So He created us in love. You know, He created us in that power of love. And the sad thing is that many of us just don't function inside of it. You know, we don't stay in that love. We stay in that greed. We stay in that need. What do I need right now? 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 That's not love, right? Amen? You think about that for a minute. But Psalm 8:3, David says, "When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you've made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands, and you have put all things subject to his feet." Now, Elohim is the eternal creator, and He ordains man as manager of the earth to subdue it and to have dominion in His image. Like, He creates Adam in His own image, the image of love. And David's going, "What am I that you will stop and take thought of me?" Why would the creator of the entire universe sit back and say, "You know, you are so important that I created you specifically and gave you power to succeed on this land"? Amen. We don't think about ourselves that way. Did you think about yourself that way this morning? Yes or no? I didn't. I woke up this morning, my alarm clock went off, I ran over 81 people, and I made it to work on time. Right? But I didn't think to myself, you know, God sat back and said, "I need a Ben here. You know, I need an Elvis here. I need a Bruce here. I need every one of us here specifically to give you power to share His love." I think that my day would have went differently if I stayed focused in that, you know. And that's what David's asking. He said, "What's this? You know, what is this? This that God would even subject me to His power?" In Ephesians 5:1, he says, "Therefore, let us be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality and impurity and greed must not even be named among us, as proper among the saints. As there must be no filthiness and silly talk, of course jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For you know this with certainty, that no immoral or impure person, covetous man who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And you know, and I asked myself, you know, why to this question, but to break it down a little further, as he's warning me immediately that God has ordained us to be imitators of God and to walk in love as Christ loved us. So it's my calling today to sacrifice my own thought process and implement God's love in front of it, right? Amen. Because if you ask me for my response, it's going to be my experience. It's going to be what I've been through. I'm going to tell you, you know, what I've been through, and I'm going to immediately respond. But if I put God's love in front of that thought, then I bet it's going to come out differently. Amen? And you think about that. He says, for you know this with certainty, that no immortal, impure person, covetous man, who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. He's saying that as people, we have a tendency to want to kind of use God as more of a security program, kind of a retirement program. I go to church on Sunday. I give a little bit to charity. For the most part, I'm nice to my family. I look out for people once in a while. I'm a good guy. I'm going to heaven, right? You know what I mean? But that's not what we say. But yet that's what happens. You know what I mean? I become more focused on my work. I become more focused on my home. I become more focused on whatever the world has to offer rather than God. And then I get off track and I start to put my focus on things that don't benefit me or grow me or in the end result of that is really immorality. So he brings to my attention that I have to be mindful of my actions because I'm not reflecting God. See, the key is, and I know this. Before I get too far, let's read the next verse. I'm going to mess it up, say something off the top of my head. I have a thought to share with you, but in 2 Corinthians, he says, "You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are the letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." So it's like, so if I'm the representative of Christ, but you only see hate through me, then how could I share God's love? Amen? Amen? Right? It's just so much more important for me to walk that walk because I'm calling that I'm a man of God. But then what you see from me is not in accordance with what he does. According to his love is contrary. So that's an indication that the issue is with me. Amen? I have to be mindful of that. He's saying that you are the walking letter of Christ. And if I promise if we wake up every single day and we start thinking about this, that my reputation precedes me has nothing to do with me. But that filter of love through God and everything that I do, I would begin to encourage and nurture every single thing around me rather than tear it down. Amen? I could even look at my own self and say, if God has the love and the ability to clear the slate, what am I walking around with it for? Amen? Right? Bottom line, there should be no conscience here if I'm in Christ. I paid for that. He paid for that. I'm accepting that. Amen? I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and feel bad about what I did yesterday because God cleared that for me. I'm going to learn from that and continue to move forward. And I got a text message. A text. Shouldn't be a text message. It's Ezekiel 18:26. Check this out. He says, "When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies because of it, for his iniquity he has committed, he will die." That verse is very clear, is it not? Now check this out. He says, "Again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, which he has committed, and practices justice and righteousness, he will save his life." Any questions on that verse? He says, "Because he considered and turned away from all his transgressions, which he had committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Therefore, I will judge you each according to his conduct, declares the Lord. Repent and turn away from your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block for you. Cast away from you all your transgressions, which you've committed, and make yourselves a new heart, a new spirit. For why will you die? I take no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live." And this is God just talking really simple to us. You know, he's saying, you know, and let me just make sure this verse isn't in here before I run out with it. he says, the Lord is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Amen. And what he's doing is, and I know for a fact that he had to be patient with me. Amen. Because how many years could have I ran out of luck before I finally got myself so tied up that I sat down for so many years that God finally got through to me? Amen. And you think about that. When no outside, I don't know if it ever would have happened. But you had to lock me in that little room for a block of 8 years and then a block of 6 years and then really kind of crack through to him because he's not going to listen. And I praise God for that time. I'm probably the only man that ever was so happy I ever went and did my time because that was the impact of the change of my entire future and the future of my kids and my family and my freedom, my parents. Regain confidence in relationships that I had lost permanently? I didn't do that. God did that. All I did was focus on God's love every day. Amen. Read in God's Word every day. Walk God's walk every day. And God restored all that. Amen. I didn't earn any of that. But you think about God being patient towards us, and He's clearly saying, choose to reflect Him in conduct and live, or choose to reflect wickedness or sin in conduct and die. Amen? Because what Jesus says is you will know them by their fruits. You know them by their fruits, right? By the apple tree right here with apples on it, what kind of tree would it be? It's an apple tree. If I had grapes coming off a grapevine, what kind of vine would it be? Right? Pretty simple. What if I had a pear tree that produced apricots? Would that make any sense? Right? Does that make sense? I know they do hybrid breeds right now. You got to be careful with what you say these days. They mix all kinds of crazy fruit together. But the fact of the matter is, he goes back and he says, a fig tree doesn't produce grapes and a grapevine doesn't produce figs. And what he's telling me is very plainly that if I live in that love of Christ and I walk in that love of Christ, why am I allowing wickedness to produce from my hands and my tongues? Amen? Very clear statement. If I'm a man of Christ, then I shouldn't be spitting evil from my tongue. My hands should no longer be violent hands. They should be full of love. Amen? To everyone. And that's exactly what he's pointing out in the Old Testament in Ezekiel. Now, we live under the dispensation of grace, and we're not going to get too deep into that right now. But I do want to point out that God says, for I, the Lord, do not change. His expectations do not change. Amen? He doesn't want me producing wickedness and claiming Christ, period. So I can't downplay it to myself and say, God, I'm going to get around to that. I'm going to make right of that. Now, I realize it's a progressive, measurable outcome because Christ said, come as you are, all ye that are weary and laden and needing rest. Amen? He didn't say, wait till you put your best shirt on. He didn't say, wait till you deal with your emotional issues. He said, come here and I will give you rest. And I believe that God works with us on a direct level basis for progressive measurable outcomes. In that over time, as we continue to draw near to Him, we continue to grow. Amen? Amen. Does everybody agree with that? So, 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, but a man must examine himself. Matthew 7:15, 20 says, a tree and its fruit is a product of my... Verse 20, so then you will know them by their fruits. Now, we just talked about that. See, I knew I was going to do that. My fruit is my reflection. And this is exactly what we're talking about. The product of my hands, the product of my mouth, the product of my mindset, the product of my conversation. I have to think about this. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I used to be sitting in prison looking at somebody, figuring out how they were going to get locked back up. I used to sit there and listen to the product of their mouth, try to come up with solutions and scenarios as to how they're going to succeed, and they're not even out yet, and they're planning on ways to get locked back up, in my mind, right? I hit the wall. I had enough time to make your hair turn gray. Amen? Only by however it worked out, I don't want to say God interceded with my timeline, but it's a blessing that I'm here today. I know this. I'm taking advantage of that blessing, but it just makes me sad to think that we aren't even mindful of what's coming out of our mouths. So if I go back to this morning and I go back to conversations that I had last week, if there's things that are coming out, there's products in my hands that are contrary to Christ. If there's a product in my lips that's contrary to Christ, I need to remove that from my life. Amen. He says in Galatians, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. For if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. It says, now those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That is such a powerful verse for me to read on a daily basis, because I understand that in living in 2016, it's very easy to get carried away with the next thing that we need to do. Because we have to do this and we have to do that and we have to do this and we have to do that, and our schedules and our timelines, and there are all these interruptions and things that are going on, the technology today and all these things that are available to pull our time away. You know, and it's funny to me, I was talking to somebody last week that was talking about, I just don't have time to read the Word. But reading the Word is our spiritual food. Just as we ate dinner and fed our physical bodies tonight, we have to read this Word and feed our spiritual man tonight. Amen. Every day, we want to read that Word and feed our spirit man. But he said, I don't have time to read the Word. I just don't have time. I said, well, what's your daily routine? What do you get into? He said, man, I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't get home till 6:30 at night. I get out of the shower. I'm sitting down in my chair by 7. I get a couple hours of TV. I got to go to bed and do it again. I said, okay. I said, so you're telling me that TV is more important to you than your faith? He said, no, it's my downtime. I'm just chilling. I'm just hanging out, whatever. I said, but present that argument to God. So I go to work. I get in my car, that's a blessing. I wake up in my bed, that's a blessing. I stand on my feet, that's a blessing. I get my breakfast, that's a blessing. I get in my car and drive to work, that's a blessing. Who brings my paycheck, that's a blessing. I come home, take a shower with hot water, that's a blessing. To get home and change into my pajamas, that's a blessing. To sit on my chair, that's a blessing. To turn on the TV and not read the Word of God for 15 minutes. Amen? Right? But then I don't have time to read the Word. I said, how does that make sense? How does that make sense? Judge Judy is not going to save your soul. Amen? Bottom line, I don't even like her very much, to be honest. Not to cause any problems. I don't know Judge Judy fans out there. But I'm just saying, reading the Word can change your life. Watching TV might be entertaining. If I could put off 15 minutes and read 2 chapters every night and show God that I'm accountable to the things that He wants me to understand. Amen? Then I can't later on say, why aren't you helping me out? Right? I watch TV every day. You're not looking out for me? Amen? Right? Or where's the knowledge that I'm looking for? But I'm not reading it. It's right here. God said, okay, here it is. Just read it. Now bring it to memory. We talked about that last week, that the Spirit comes along, brings to remembrance all the things that you should know. So as I'm continuing to read it, He continues to teach me. But then I'm worried because I don't understand what I'm supposed to do when I'm not reading. Does that make sense? But it's weird. It happens that way. If you look at the past record of the last 2 weeks and I think, how many useless things that I put my time to instead of reading the Word, which could have benefited everyone around me. Not to push too far on that. 1 Corinthians 13 says, for we know in part, this is interesting, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect comes, the partial will be done away. For when I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with the childish things. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know as I am fully known. And I'm going to break this down and explain this a little bit. He said, for now we know in part and prophesy in part, but that which is perfect comes, the partial will be done away. So he's saying that as we continue to grow in our faith, we continue to understand things that we didn't quite understand previously. And the Holy Spirit is what's perfect that comes. Because we get saved and Christ brings that Holy Spirit to us. The Greek word is parakletos. And that specifically stands for the one called alongside to help. And we think to ourselves, why am I alone? When in reality, we're not alone. We get saved. God sends the Holy Spirit to go along with us, to carry us, to pray when we pray, to encourage us when we're weak, to direct us when we don't have guidance. And He brings us strength and gives us knowledge. As we continue to read, He makes the light bulb go off. Amen? As I put more effort in Christ, the Holy Spirit blesses me. And then He goes, when I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. Okay, so in the very beginning of my faith, I was very immature. I didn't know too much about God. But as I continue to put my effort into the Word and I continue to grow and put myself in areas conducive to spiritual growth, I become a man in my faith, right? Not necessarily a gender, but a growth period. Amen? That as I continue to grow in my faith, as my faith continues to enlighten me to discontinue things that are not beneficial to faith, then I cut them off. And I don't repeat that. So when I came to the light that it wasn't okay to smack people because of my faith, I quit smacking people. Amen? Right? Or maybe something a little more intricate. When I woke up one day and I realized that when I was in public, cursing really didn't benefit Christ, I did away with cursing. Does that make sense? And when all these little light bulbs in our faith go off and we begin to show that love, we continue to grow. And that's what he's talking about. He said, for now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. So there comes a point in time when we will know every single thing there is to know. And as we continue to grow, we get bits and pieces of that. We're putting it together. But the end result is the spiritual transformation. That's the only point in time we'll know everything. But we will continue to grow. But it's a progressive, measurable outcome spiritually. So more and more and more, on and on and on and on, I should be able to look at myself and go, have I improved in 6 months? 3 months? Am I going to improve 6 months from now? 3 months from now? Amen? I want my spirituality to grow. Just like I want my physical body to be strong. I want my children to grow strong. I want my spirit man to grow strong. And I want to be mindful that I'm doing things to promote that. Amen? So in closing, Philippians 2, 1 through 5 says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in one spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but look out for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, to whom every knee will bow. Amen. And just to touch on that, he says that there's any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love, fellowship of the Spirit, affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. I love this. This is the mind of Christ. This is the love of Christ. You see, many things in the world, I have to put my face on. I'm a dad. I got to put my face on. I'm a son. I got to put my face on. I'm a worker. I got to put my face on. I'm a friend. And I got all these different masks and parts that I got to play in the world. But in reality, Christ said, just put me on. Amen. Just put Christ on. It's the only face you need. It's the only thing you need. And if I stay in that one mind, that same mind of Christ, it doesn't deteriorate me. But if I stay in that mindset of the world where I have a face for Ed, I got a face for Mick, I got a face for my parents I got to play, I got a face for the kids, I put all these stories in front of you, make it look real good, it tears me down and rips me apart. I don't remember who I am anymore. But all I got to do is wake up and put that love of Christ, that reflection of Christ on, and live in that Christ every single day. I'm the same man, same mind, same purpose. It builds me up. Amen. That's such a powerful verse. And then he says, maintaining the same love, united in spirit. We are not alone in this game. Intent on one purpose, not doing anything from selfish conceit. For have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, to whom every knee will bow. Amen. All right, let's pray.